Turn in your Bibles to Genesis, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to take the liberty of reading a couple of more verses than what I listed there, but Genesis chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 27 and 28. This is the Word of God. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and every living thing that moves on earth." And now turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. I'm going to read the first two verses of that chapter. And you will notice that I will read different than what you have in your text, because there are texts, there are no texts that I know of that translate into English Adam consistently in this text. You'll see the word man, and that is Adam in Hebrew. So I'm going to read it as man, as Adam, so that you can see that. Genesis chapter 5, the first two verses. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created Adam, He made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, He created them and blessed them and named them Adam when they were created. And then one more verse in Genesis. Because my message this morning is about male and female roles in salvation's plan. And we have the first giving of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This is the first time in the scriptures, it's after man's fall into sin, that God reveals His plan of salvation. And it's interesting that it is in words that He speaks to the serpent, that is Satan. Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmity between you," that is the serpent, "and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This speaks very directly here of the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. Because when He talks here to the when He speaks to the serpent and says that He will put enmity between His seed, the followers of Satan, and the seed of the woman, He says of the seed of the woman, "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now let's turn over to chapter 1 of Luke. The Gospel according to Luke in chapter 1. Where this plan of God's, where he's unfolded in Scripture, and there was a promise in the Old Testament that a virgin would conceive a child, and that that child would be the Messiah. And now we have here in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. One more passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and beginning with verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." this sermon that I'm bringing to you this morning, when I was originally preparing this thing, and it takes time to prepare a sermon, your pastor may have made you aware of that. I know there are people who think that preachers only work one day a week. I've heard that said, but count on it. If your pastor is faithfully proclaiming God's word to you, he spends the week before preparing that sermon many hours, more than it takes to deliver a sermon. But when I was preparing this sermon originally, I was preparing it to preach in Sterling. I'm going to be, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be filling in for the pastor there, my home congregation. And it was one sermon. And I've broken it into two parts. And it's a little bit difficult to do that in a way, to set it into two parts. What I am concerned about is our day and age. We live in a time that when I was the age of some of the young people here, the youngest ones here, I would have never imagined. If you had told me that there was going to come a time in America when a man could marry a man or a woman could marry a woman, I would have laughed in your face. It's ridiculous. If you had told me that there would come a time in America when a Supreme Court justice, someone who's nominated to that position, would be asked, a woman, by the way, would be asked the question, can you define a woman? And her reply would be, no, I'm not a biologist. Now, I have felt that someone there should have confronted her at that point and said, then you're saying that a woman is biologically defined. I don't think she could have gone along with that. But the confusion in our society, the attitude, what is behind all of this? Why do we see this? This confusion about male and female. Satan hates God. No question about that. And Satan hates God's creation, mankind. And Satan opposes God's purposes in creating man male and female. And we need to assert the importance of those two roles. And to speak to the confusion that exists in our world today about those roles. Back in Genesis 1, chapter 1, where I read the passage where God created man in his own image. Now, your pastor shared with me that he had already preached about that to you. And also the matter of male and female. I'm not going to go in so much to the image of God this morning, but I hope that you have a clear understanding of what that image is. It's not something physical. It's not that God has two hands. But it is spiritual. And it has to do with the issues of righteousness and holiness. God, when God created man, he created man with certain qualities. A reasonableness. And a holiness that is not tainted by sin. Sin comes into the world, and then all of those things are affected. Our thinking is affected. Our emotions are affected. But when God created man in His image, He created them male and female. That there is that general category of humanity. But you have never met a human being who was neither male nor female. Do you realize that? That we talk about human, a human being, but there is no such thing as a human being who is neither male nor female, or is a confusion of the two. Both created in God's image, and both referred to as Adam. The verses that I read there in chapter 5, I was reading that as when God created Adam, because that's what's there in the Hebrew text. You can look it up. You'll find out that it's Adam. There is a term for man in Hebrew. There's kind of a general term for man as opposed to woman. But that's not what's used there. It's Adam. Do you realize that Adam never got a proper name? That Adam was a reference to man? And Eve. When God created a man and He created the woman, Eve, and we have an account of that in Genesis. Adam later gives Eve a name. She actually gets a name, because she was to be the mother of all living. But God creates these two sexes. And I don't use the word gender. I taught a class, an adult Sabbath school class, and there was something that I constantly reminded the class of. We were discussing the whole matter of gender and society today. There are three genders, masculine, feminine, and neuter. It has to do with language. There are only two sexes, male and female. And God created those, and those are very much a part of God's plan of salvation. When God sends the Savior into the world, He sends a man-child. That, you know, that offends some people. There are people in our culture who are actually offended at the idea that there's God the Father and God the Son. And people start talking about God the Mother. You won't find that in the Scriptures at all. God does not identify Himself as a woman. And the child that He sends into the world is male. Now, if you may feel, sitting here, those of you who are female, may feel like that's slighted you somehow, I want to tell you something about how God sent this son into the world. He cut the men out of the process. Do you realize that? That when God chooses to send His Son into the world, His Son is not born the result of a relationship between a man and a woman, but is born of a virgin. So that in God's plan, He chooses to do that in that fashion. Seems so strange to us. But it was necessary that the Savior that he sent to us be fully human as we are. And yet at the same time, fully God. That Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ. But God is his Father. When God created man, it was his intention from the beginning to create us male and female, that we would reproduce, that there would be children born. Turn once again to Genesis. I know I keep bringing you back to that same book, but there's so much there in terms of all that began. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Now Cain had an earthly father, a biological father, and a biological mother. But Eve at this point, I really believe, expresses faith in God when she says, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. That she is saying here that she's looking for a Messiah. She was promised one, wasn't she? The seed of the woman. And that it was going to be he. And here she is given birth to a male child. Now we know how things turn out with Cain. And they don't turn out well. But I believe that we have here an indication of Eve's faith in God's promise. And that we will see this throughout the Old Testament. God's people, as he calls a people for himself, and again repeats the promise of the Messiah. That we see in that people of faith trusting and looking for the birth of the Messiah. When would he come? God's plan from the beginning was that we would reproduce as people and fill the earth. That was God's command. And again, in our day and age, Satan is very opposed to this. Abortion is such a terrible thing because it destroys life. That God's plan is to bring life to this earth, human life, and to call out those who would come to faith in Jesus Christ. And Satan hates that. He opposes that. But we should see in this relationship that God has created for male and female, God's plan from the very beginning. Because it's interesting, in the book of Hebrews, it makes it very clear that Jesus did not come to die for fallen angels. I remember when my oldest two children were small, they would often have discussions together, and they got their heads together, and they came to me, and they told me their plan, that they were going to pray for Satan. And I said, why? And they said, well, to get him converted. Because if Satan would come to faith, then there wouldn't be so much temptation in the world and all these things. And I had to explain to them, no, you don't pray for Satan. There's no hope for him. Because he cannot. You can pray for any other human being around you. Now, I don't know who God's elect are infallibly. I don't have that kind of knowledge. God hasn't given it to me. But there are people that I have prayed for years that they would come to faith in Christ. And there have been some instances where I've seen that happen. And there are other instances where it hasn't happened yet, but I'm not giving up hope. But there's no hope for the angels because Jesus did not come to die for angels. Angelic beings are very different than human beings. Did you know that they don't have physical bodies? That they're spirits, they're ministering spirits, we're told in the scriptures, and that they are all referred to in the masculine gender, but they are not sexual beings. They do not reproduce. I remember someone pointing this out to me once, and it was so strange to me to think about being, because I had, well, I didn't have any brothers, but I had five sisters. And I had a slew of cousins on both my mother's side and my father's side. We all lived in the greater Kansas City area when I was little, growing up. I knew them all. So I had all kinds of relatives, aunts and uncles. And when someone told me that angels don't have brothers and no sisters, no parents, no children, no grandchildren. They're individual creations. And the ones who fell are fallen and they will not be redeemed. But we're different than they are. And part of this whole matter of us reproducing, no angelic being could ever give birth to the Savior. It took a human being, a woman. That God designed women with that in mind. And He sent to us a son, who, as we noted there in the passage in Philippians, that though he was in the form of God, and understand this about the Greek here, in English you might be a little misled in thinking form of God means less than God, but that's not what it means here. It means that he was the very form of God. That in eternity, the eternal Son is, was, and always will be God. But he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And this speaks of the equality of the position, the grandeur, all that Jesus as the eternal Word of God had experienced before he came to earth. Because Jesus coming to earth, being conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was humiliating for him. It was not an honor. It was an honor to Mary, but it was not an honor to Jesus to come and to be a fetus. And then to be born as a baby. And don't buy the story in the popular Christmas carol that the Lord Jesus, when he woke, did not cry as a baby. I don't buy that. He was a very much a real baby and would have cried. That was humiliating. To live a life here on this earth was humiliating for him. To die on a cross was terrible and humiliating. But I always thought that when Jesus died and commended his spirit into the hands of the Father, that that was the end of his humiliation. I've learned otherwise. Those 3 days that he spent dead were humiliating. That he spent 3 days, his soul spent 3 days apart from his body. He was present with those who had died in faith, because he told the thief on the cross, "Today I will be with you, and you will be with me in paradise." But he had not yet ascended to the glory that was to be his. When Jesus was raised from the dead, his exaltation began. When Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, his exaltation was increased. And when Jesus returns again to judge this world, his exaltation will be complete. But he went through that humiliation. And all of this was part of God's plan. And God chose that he would send a son to this earth to suffer for us. And so, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And again, here, likeness can be misleading to us there in that passage as well, because we think of something being like something else and not actually. But that's not what's meant there. Jesus was fully man. He had a male body. He had a male brain. Did you know that male brains and female brains are different? I'll talk a little bit more this afternoon about that. But male brains and female brains are actually different. And he had a male soul, a human soul. He was fully human and is fully human. And at the same time, fully God. But being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to whom? To his Father in heaven. And what was it that the will of the Father was that Jesus would die on the cross. And when he was in agony there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed that the cup would be taken from him, but not my will, but but thy will be done. He was speaking of the Father's will for him. That he was aligning his human will with his Father's will. And there was a perfect alignment. And as a result of that, we're told that God has highly exalted him and bestowed him on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have a choice laid before us. We can, in this life, here and now, bow the knee to Jesus Christ, confessing our sins and accepting him as our Savior and the full payment for all of our sins. But if we don't bow the knee now, one day we will be forced to bow the knee. Because when Jesus returns, he's going to bring the souls of those who are in heaven with him and raise their bodies first. And then those of us who are alive at that time, he'll change us in a moment. But he's also going to raise all of the dead, including the wicked. Some people have asked me since they find out I'm a preacher, and they'll say, do you believe in a literal hell? And I tell them, yes. And I tell them the reason I believe in a literal hell is there has to be a literal hell because people are going to have literal bodies that will spend eternity there. Just like there has to be a literal heaven, new heavens and earth, because we are going to spend eternity, those of us who put our faith in Christ, in physical bodies. Now, thank God, not the body I've got right now, but a body transformed. Because right now, I've told my children that if I ever wake up in the morning, some morning, and feel no pain, I will be convinced that I've died and gone to heaven. Because one of the things that's constantly with me at my age, I'm 74 years old, but pain is a constant part of life. And difficulties are a part of life. And those will be no more on that day. God's plan of salvation involves male and female in his perfect purposes. We need to come in God's absolute truth. Let's look to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the wonderful way that you have created us human beings. That you've created us male and female. And as male and female, you've given us various callings in life. And you have a purpose for our life here and now. But Father, we rejoice most of all in your wonderful plan of salvation. That you chose to bring a sinless Savior into the world through virgin birth. And that he, your man, has been exalted to the highest position possible. And Father, we look forward to that day when we will see him and we will be like him. Not because of what we've done, or any accomplishment that we could ever make, but because He has purchased us for You, Father, that He, Jesus Christ, is Your gift to us, and that, Father, we